Jerry Miscataway. You listen to Locks of the Week Radio. You can catch me going ham on my boys, the New York Yankees.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Locks of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Let him play.
Yeah, everybody have a show today. We had snow today. Show today. Show tomorrow.
I don't know if you want that on your credit card bill. You know, saying the WWE network on it. I mean, like,
your dad would be like, Dave, you have something to tell me?
That's the story that they still
play. It's unbelievable.
You have your LeBron in the filet. It's like, do you really care about the James Jones at the end of the bench and the potatoes?
Maybe the board, the MikeFrancesa.com, was just ahead of its time.
Pioneers.
Exactly, yeah.
Pioneers, if you will. Yeah.
We listen to this guy sit at a desk and picking his teeth every day and all the dumb stuff he does. But it's not like we're changing the dial. We like Mike. You know, we hate Mike. We love Mike. All that back and forth.
Bingo.
Unbelievable.
The San Antonio Spurs, Dave. What do they say about him?
They're boring.
They're boring!
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big Wednesday show. Hope the neighbors are okay with that. Here in the city on Locks of the Week Radio, thank you very much for staying with us, starting about a half an hour late. Most appreciated by all of you. It really means a lot. It really means a lot staying with me. And you know, a lot of you are going to be listening to this the next day, watching this next day on YouTube, so it's really not going to make much of a difference when you watch it. You'll just see that the show is about a half an hour shorter than usual. And honestly, some people just cannot say no. And that is basically a big reason why we are where we are tonight. So good to have you with us. We are on YouTube as usual, at DidCow on Twitter if you want to find the YouTube link, or YouTube itself, youtube.com/user/DidCow. We are in for some fun tonight. Junkman will not be joining us tonight. He had a vacation scheduled. He'll be leaving on Friday. He was supposed to be there already, but unfortunately things didn't work out. It's kind of the same situation. He got caught up with work, and he is still on the mainland. But he will be going to a very nice island someplace, and that's just right up his alley. It'll be great. But in the meanwhile, we welcome our wonderful guests, and I also want to announce to you that coming up in just a few days, 1 week from today, we will have our MLB preview podcast. It will be on March the 4th. And the big MLB preview will be featuring Jerry and Piscataway and Ari in Philadelphia, and maybe some other surprises along the way. And we will take you through the rest of baseball, all the best in the American League, all the best in the National League. We'll devote 1 hour to each. Next week, March the 4th, be there for that, 9 o'clock Eastern time. That will be coming your way. Don't miss it. Really, don't miss it. It's going to be really a lot of fun. So now let's just get into the particulars about what's been happening with sports. You know, sports has been, this is usually a slow month, they say, for sports. And I would tend to agree if you don't like basketball and hockey. But if you do like basketball and hockey, this month ain't slow. This month is really getting it. This is when everything starts to get pretty exciting. And I'll tell you, it's certainly been no different for the LA Kings. They have been red hot. They just won their 8th game in a row last night against the Detroit Red Wings in a pretty rough and tumble game. But they held on to the 1-0 shutout win at Staples Center. They are as rolling as much as you can roll. They have tied, I believe, the New York Rangers one of the New York teams. They have tied another team for the longest win streak in the NHL this season at 8 games. And this after they just had one of the most miserable Januaries you'll see. But did anybody panic? Some people did. But there was no reason to panic because this team had been through it all and they've been going through so many injuries. And, you know, We addressed it with Mike in North Jersey about 2 weeks ago, where we said that maybe the depth of that defenseman was terrible at this point in time. People were getting hurt. Reguer was hurt, and then other people were out of commission, like Slava Voynov, who's still in the process of of a trial to determine the fate of his alleged domestic abuse. And it's not looking good for him, but the legal process is long, so that will still yet to be that is yet to be decided. In the meanwhile, the Kings on the ice are down a guy, and he was pretty good on the ice, but obviously no excuse for what he did. He's a terrible human being. But nevertheless, on the ice, they're down one person, and they've been trying to make it up. They tried Braden McNabb, and he's fine, but I think they were wearing thin. I mean, Jake Muzzin and Drew Doughty, as our friend Panther said to us, were getting a lot of ice minutes, and they need help. They needed help. That was a pressing need. In past years, they needed a forward. Well, this year, they need a defenseman. And wouldn't you believe it, again, Dean Lombardi rolls out the dice and trades a second round, a one-time second round pick and a conditional first rounder. They didn't trade the pick. They traded a guy that they picked in the second round along with a first round pick for next year. And it's contingent on several factors, but a young guy and a first round pick to the Carolina Hurricanes for Andrei Sekera. I think I had that right. Amazing. And because he's the Andrei Sekera is the alternate captain for the Carolina Hurricanes, and he's a good player. He is a great defenseman. And amazing, really. I mean, he's pretty much one of the better players on the Carolina Hurricanes, who pride themselves on their defense, a very good defensive team from what I've seen this year. And it's a guy, yeah, and it's exactly what the Kings need. It's a risk because two things. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season, and he's also going, then they're also giving up, you know, a young player and they're giving up a young player and a draft pick to get him. But the time is now. They're rolling. They need the defensive depth. It fills an absolute position of need. Willie Mitchell's not in the team anymore. And Dean did it again. I don't know what else you can say. I mean, everybody in hockey's like, wow, the Kings, I can't believe it. And I am right there with all of you. I can't believe it either. This is a fantastic trade. And yeah, you know, it's going to hurt the Kings in the future. But I think you get that sense that, you know, the window of competition, and to say this after winning two cups, but the window of competition has a limit. And I think the Kings are getting close to the end of that limit. I think maybe like three more years from now, it'd be time to reassess and rebuild. But right now, this is the time. This is the win now time. There's no better time to do it. They've got a great team as it is. But they do need the defensive depth, and this is it. Andrei Sekera, he'll be with the team. Next game is against Ottawa tomorrow at Staples Center. And it just keeps on rolling. And, you know, let's not be surprised. I'm not surprised if they lose the game. If they lose tomorrow, it's not the end of the world. Eight straight is a lot. In the NHL, it's a big deal. So just a big day for the Kings and a big day for the NHL. And it gets a little bit bigger in one other aspect. And Jonathan Toews of the Chicago Blackhawks got hurt in last night's game against, who were they playing? I think it was Dallas? No. Chicago, I got to make sure, you know, before they get the ball rolling here on this program. They were playing the Florida Panthers. Toews gets hurt. No, it wasn't Toews, it was Kane. Patrick Kane. I get a mix up all the time because they go together. You know, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane. Kane has surgery. He is expected to miss up to 12 weeks. That guy is an amazing player. And to lose him for 12 weeks is pretty bad. And I think it means that if they make the playoffs, then he'll be back. But that's the thing. It is such a tight race in the Western Conference. This is a big blow to the Blackhawks. And as others have said, the offense really feeds off of those two. And so it's almost like losing half the offense. It really is. They have a lot of decent players, but he is among the best in the NHL, period. Patrick Kane being out for 12 weeks, that's bad. And remember this. Last year, Patrick Kane was a big LA Kings killer. If he misses even a little bit of time entering the playoffs and they get to a point where they meet the Kings, that's another loss. But I don't think it goes that far. Well, that's going to be a tough road for the Chicago Blackhawks. Some people are penciling in the Kings already in the Cup Final. you know, let's calm down a little bit. But it's a big deal. So this is a lot of things have broken the King's way today. It's a big deal. So now let's get to another big deal, because he's kind of a big deal himself. Let us introduce to the program as a bit of a teaser as we lead up to Tom in New Jersey in hour two at 10, and perhaps Umer in Rockland also at 10 o'clock tonight. Our friend Jerian Piscataway with his little pre-interview before our big MLB preview podcast. Let's bring him into the program. Jerry in Piscataway, welcome to the show.
Dave, good evening, man. What's going on?
Oh, my goodness. I'm pumped. I'm so glad you could make it tonight. And you know what?
Well, I'm happy to be here.
You had to be here. I'm glad to see you. And say hello to our new YouTube audience. Hello, YouTubers. This is Jerry Piscataway. Say hello, all the lovely ladies out there.
What's going on, YouTubers?
brother, how have you been? What's new with the Cap Man?
Oh, just busy, man. You know, my my boss has been in China for a month. I've been super busy just holding the fort down and trying to, you know, get some things done and, you know, following all the baseball news and, you know, trying to get through this frigid winter. I have all my eyes on spring and summer. I can't wait.
Can't come soon enough, right? Yeah. Your workplace is wild. You know, we've made the joke oftentimes, you know, many times, that you've got to make a TV show out of it. Just put a camera in there. You don't have to do any work.
Dude, it's crazy. No, it's crazy. I mean, some of the things, like, I tell you guys, and I'm like, they're never going to believe it. But it's literally happening in my office. And it was a lot crazier back when we had, you know, a sales room and outside salespeople, inside salespeople, and just some, you know, some antics and the old boss and everything. It was always something every day. My first day working there, the cops were called because someone stole a laptop. Come to find out, this guy's wanted by the FBI.
Oh, my gosh.
They had two detectives come in the office the next day. I mean, that was my first day, my first second day working there is that. And then they leave me in the office alone to go down to the police station. I'm like, how about if this guy comes back? He's wanted by the FBI. He's going to, you know, freaking kill me. It was it's crazy. And from that, that set the tone. From that day, there always was different antics and some different things going on. It's a lot more mellow now, although there are some different things that happen, but it was a lot more mellow now than it was when I had sales room and my old boss. And
wow.
Just it's a gold band of characters over there, man. It's a scene.
I can't imagine. Now there's this one guy, this is your new boss, I think, he's called Vinegar Man or Vinegar Moon.
Yeah, that's been the CEO of my company since I started working there.
Wow. Unbelievable. Now, where does how did he earn the name Vinegar Man? What is the origin there?
He got surgery on his foot.
Yeah.
And something happened with his foot, and he had like one of those Velcro, cast on that you're not supposed to take them off, but you know, when he goes to the doctor, he can take it off, almost like a walking boot he had on. And he went to the doctor the one day, and you know, he was complaining. I guess he told me that, you know, it was tight, it was itching and bothering him. She said, you know, you can take the Velcro off and let your foot breathe and let it breathe. So when he did that, he stunk the whole, because you can't wash it, you don't take that thing off. He stunk the whole office up. It smelled like vinegar, and it smelled horrible. He even said when he came back from the doctor, he said he didn't realize it. Oh, she cleaned my foot. Lots of stinks, right? Now, that's where the whole thing came
lots
from.
Lots of stinks.
And this is the way he put it cracked me up. And I was just like, yeah, I guess so. And then every time he'd be in his office, I'd hear that Velcro rip. About a minute later, you'd smell it going through the office, and it was just disgusting, man.
Unbelievable. Jerian Piscataway is our guest tonight. We have people excited about the show, asking how to interact. A lot of ways to do it. To get on, you can now go to webchat.freenode.net and then go to DITCOW channel. It's hashtag DITCOW when you go to that site for the channel. And once you do that, you're on our chat room and you can join us and chat away. Or at DITCOW if you want to just tweet away and ask a question. If you've got a question for our friend Jerian Piscataway tonight, shoot away. Webchat.freenode.net.
I got to get involved in that chat room. I got to get involved weekly. It's easier now, I'm sure. The Blog Talk Radio was kind of tough. But
it was.
I'm sure it's easy to get on and interact. So I got to get involved. I got to get in the mix.
It's so much easier, and it's faster, it's more reliable. You can go on any web browser anywhere, or you can even do it on your phone. I think you could do it on your phone by going to the same site. It would work fine. So
awesome.
It's good stuff. So, yeah, you know, you were talking about The Office. That's a wild story. Okay, so let's hear from your friend IT Guy, because it's great that you keep in touch. I didn't know you were still keeping in touch with him. What's the latest from our friend in Las Vegas?
I actually spoke with him this morning. I had a problem. My computer was running like shit. I think I told you guys. I said, you know, my computer's running horrible. I have to restart it. So I gave him a call. I thought there was something wrong with my connection. He's a guy who I've known since I was 5 years old. He moved into the house next door to me. And, you know, we went to, you know, school together, went to high school together, and just, you know, became friends ever since. You know, he lived literally a house over, so I'd always walk to his house and stuff like that. The kid is an absolute genius when it comes to computers, even, you know, schoolwork-wise. He was one of those kids that didn't have to study. He just got things quick and was very smart. And, you know, he's able to do everything remote in my office. You can log into my system. You can get into my switchboard. He has TeamViewer, so you can see everybody's computer. And he does everything remote. And I talk to him, you know, on a weekly basis, you know, a couple times a week sometimes. And last time I spoke with him, he was telling me how he went to Del Taco. He's like, yeah, I went to Del Taco. I thought my mom and dad would be home. I got 20 tacos. They weren't home. I ended up eating 16 throughout the day. So, I mean, he comes out with stuff sometimes that just cracks me up. He has no filter. He just has no shame. He'll tell – I'm very close with him, so he'll tell me anything, and some of the stuff he tells me is just—it's comical, man.
I'm just—it's really good. Now, what are his current records for what he's eaten in recent days?
Recent days?
Yeah.
I know he actually went to that new White Castle on the Vegas Strip. He
ate nice.
A crepe case, which is 30 burgers.
30.
So he bought a crepe case for himself and a big 7-Eleven big gulp. So he ate that throughout the night, which is 30 burgers. I know he ate 16 tacos recently. And over the holidays, he said he just ate a lot of leftovers. I get so intrigued about, like, his diet and, like, what he eats. I don't know if he finds it weird, but I ask him, like, when we talk, hey, you know, what'd you eat today? Hey, did you eat anything crazy? Then he'll tell me, like, oh, yeah, I ate, you know, 30 cheeseburgers last night or something. So he was telling me he went to In-N-Out Burger. You can be familiar with this.
Oh,
what
yeah.
is the big burger in In-N-Out? Is it like... Three patties, four patties, five patties. What is the big burger there?
Oh, no, three patties is pretty big. Three patties is pretty big. Like, a regular burger is not that big.
Do they have more than three?
You can have as many as you want. You can have, I guess they put some kind of limits on it, but back in the day, people could do, like, 32-patty burgers if they really wanted to. But you can go 3x3, 4x4, 5x5, 8x8. You know, you can really, there's no limit, really.
He might have did a 5x5.
Oh,
my
God.
He did something where he ate a lot, and he told me that it was not filling.
Oh, no.
And I was like, are you kidding me?
He's
like, yeah, it wasn't enough. Because he said he didn't get any fries or anything. He just got, like, this really big burger, and he was telling me, I think I had showed you guys what he had said, and he said something like, oh, yeah, but it wasn't filling. Wasn't filling. For dinner, I ate two pieces of grilled chicken, brown rice, and spinach, and I was full. This kid's eating a five patty cheeseburger and wants more. Crazy.
I can't even imagine that. I think I've done a 3x3 once, and that was pretty good. I mean, they're not huge patties, but just when you put them all together, it's insane. And I'm sure he has, like, a lot of this cheese on it. It's crazy.
He can eat. When he used to work with me, Dave, we, you know, if there was nothing going on, you know, around maybe 4 or 5 o'clock at work and, you know, my boss wasn't there, we'd go to, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings. He would go anyway, but sometimes I'd go with him. And he would just get fries and mozzarella sticks and 30 wings or something. And I'm like, you're going to eat all that? He's like, probably not. I'll take some home. So I'm like, all right. So I figure he's going to take home for lunch tomorrow. He'd come into work the next morning and eat Buffalo Wings with blue cheese at 9:30 in the morning. At his desk, and I'm sitting there like, that's crazy. It's 9:30 in the morning. You're eating your leftover buffalo wings and blue cheese. It's like he's just a character, man. He has no diet whatsoever. He would eat anything, eat whatever. He used to take me to this Filipino barbecue place, and he used to just load up. I would have one plate and be done. He would load up, and he's funny, and he's a great guy. He would do anything for you. You know, he's one of those guys that you say, hey, man, I need you to fly here next week. I need you to do something. He would do it. You know, he just is he's one of my really good friends. You know, I get a kick out of him. I don't make fun of him. I just get a kick out of some of the stuff that he does and some of the stuff that he did. But all around, he's a great dude. He helps me out so much, helps my company out a lot. He's a funny guy.
Wowee. It's cool that you guys have stuck together for so long. When was the last time you guys met in person, though? Has it been a while?
Been a long time. It may be 2 years. Wow. I mean, it's weird because, you know, having him live right next door to me, there wouldn't be a day go by where I wouldn't see him. You know, whether it be, you know, if I see him in passing or, if, you know, when we were maybe, you know, in our college years, he went to some different schools. If I just saw him outside or in the car, there rarely was a day that went by where I didn't interact with him, you know, face to face, because he did live right next door. I'd see him walking up from the driveway or getting the mail or, you know, but a lot of times we did hang out at each other's house. He had a setup at his house, Dave, where he had three computers set up and then a big screen TV and all of his gaming systems set up to that. So you can be on a computer. It was like an arcade almost. So I was there a lot. And, it's been about 2 years, but, you know, him and I will be friends for life. I always talk to him, and it is weird. I haven't seen him in about 2 years, and I actually mentioned to him last week. I said, you know, when are you coming up here? He goes, dude, I'm the one that lives in Vegas. You need to come here. So I said, yeah, no, eventually, you know, once work settles down, I'll try to get out there. But yeah, man, it's been a while since I've seen him.
Yeah, I agree there. I mean, if they're guys are going to meet, you got to meet in Vegas. That was going to be a monster meetup. You and your buddy there roaming the strip. That could be some serious stories coming up for our friend Jared.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Now, did you end up making it out to Vegas recently? I don't remember if that transpired or not, because you were teasing coming out west, and I forget whether it happened or not.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I haven't.
Okay.
To come out west actually in September. I plan to come out in September, and I didn't end up doing it. And me and my buddies have been talking about going to Vegas. We've not gotten around to it. In the summer, it was hard because we've had shore houses. And, you know, you pay, you know, almost $2,000, you know, the year before almost $3,000. And, you know, you want to get your money's worth. So you're down there every weekend, and it's a community down there. You know, you meet people every summer, and you become friends with them. And you know, you can text them on Fridays, hey, you coming out for happy hour? And it's hard to deviate from that, you know, once you're in it. So the past, you know, a couple summers, I haven't had a chance to go and travel and do some different things. But now that I'm not doing that anymore, I definitely plan to make some trips. And actually, a buddy of mine is moving to San Francisco for 3 months. So he's been telling me, hey, man, when I'm in here, you got to come visit. He's going out there for work. So I have always wanted to see what his life is like on the West Coast. My cousin goes and tells me it's a totally different way of life. So I definitely want to go and check that out. And hopefully I will have the time and the energy to do that, you know, sometime in the near future. And obviously when I do, I'll definitely let you know, because it'd be great to catch up with you as well.
I love it. Yeah, no. That meeting shall happen, and it'll be a good time. I want to show you how much I can't. Because remember that I had that fireball thing? I claimed I could drink like 11 fireball shots. I was being a little too overzealous. I probably will end up with more like 5. But you know, if I don't have to drive, I definitely would give it my best shot. Speaking of shots, I did like when I was at the meetup with you last year at called the Dugout.
Yeah.
I think I did like 4 shots, maybe 3, maybe 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably could do like 5 and then maybe push and then maybe push. Like a hot dog eating contest. You're like, you know, you just go like, you just do one more, you know, and then you just think one at a time, one step at a time. All right.
Yeah, you could do it, man. If you spread it out a little bit and, you know, drink, you know, a little, you know, even if you drink water in between with a beer or something, you could definitely do it. I think we had in that short span of time of us, you know, getting together at that bar, I think we had like 3 or 4, and that's the normal. I think you could definitely do more than that, but yeah, man, I mean, that stuff goes down too smooth. That and Jack Daniel's Honey. I mean, I'll get Jack Daniel's Honey on the rocks, and before I know it, I'm like on my third one, and I'm like, wow, you know, this stuff is going down way too smooth.
Beautiful. Now, how many fireballs have you ever, in your recorded memory? Because I'm sure there are some date nights where you just...
Did I send you a picture of my shot tower Labor Day weekend last year?
Whoa. A shot tower?
I don't know if I did. I know I sent it out to people. It was just a It was just a bunch of shot glasses stacked up on top of each other. I don't know if I sent it to you. I know I sent it around to a couple people, but we were at the bar, and one of my buddy's girlfriends is the bartender there. So whenever somebody would order a group of shots, she would pour an extra one and pass it over to us, or extra two and pass it over to us. So she would always, you know, take care of us, and we always tipped her well. So we would, you know, get shots, and all of a sudden, you know, two more would come our way, and then, you know, another two would come our way. So we're at happy hour, and, you know, after we're done with the shots, we're lining up the shot glasses. I look, and there's got to be, Dave, I'm telling you, about at least 11 shot glasses there in the span of, you know, not even 2 hours. And I'm like, all right, this is going to be bad. And granted, the shots they give you there aren't those diesel shot glasses, like those glass shot glasses. They're those little plastic ones, but still, you know, it's a good amount of alcohol. So I would say that day I did a lot, man. I did definitely between 8 and 10 just at happy hour. And then obviously you go through happy hour, and then you go back to the house and you go out at night. So it was 2 years ago. I'm sorry, 2 years ago. And it goes from there. So I'm sure I put up some numbers that night. I don't know exactly what it was, but the span of that day and that night, it was a lot. You can even ask Lou and Tom when they came down to see Mike at Bar A. You know, throughout that day and later on, you know, through the day we did a bunch, and then, you know, I don't think we really even took a break really from drinking. I know we got a slice of pizza, and then we just kept it going from there until nighttime, and it was just, it's a lot, man. It's a lot.
That's a whole day.
From Mike to a house to another house to out to another bar, and then, you know, home at 2-3 in the morning. It was nonstop from, like, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock on. So yeah, we put up some numbers that day too, but I don't know if I can put a number on what my most was.
Well, you got yourself to about a dozen, so that's a great number right there. So that's pretty good, and I'm sure it's not the only.
And Dave, you see me? I'm not a big guy, so I mean, I get, for somebody who's not, you know 6 foot, yeah, you know, 200 pounds, I can hold my alcohol pretty well.
That's impressive. You know, you'd be surprised. Some of the best drinkers I know, or people who aren't that big, or my buddy Jacob Rosales. He's not that much bigger than you. Nobody could be smaller than Jacob, but he's probably about the same.
Oh, I feel his pain, Dave.
Yep, I get it though, but I get the idea, because the same idea, right? Like, just because you're not, yeah, a huge guy doesn't mean that you can't drink. I mean, I'm bigger, yeah, than some people, and I'm terrible at drinking, so. Clearly,
but you also don't do it often. You know, you don't. Right. When you drink, you'll have a couple beers or a couple shots. Like, these guys are nuts, man. I'll go out and we'll have, like, you know, 2 bottles of pregame, and we'll be done with the 2 bottles, and then go out and drink. So I mean, it when I look back at it, it really is pretty disgusting sometimes. But I mean, when you're having fun, you're in the moment, you don't realize it, and you're with a bunch of people. Hey, let's do a shot. Let's do this. Let's do that. And then before you know it, you know, you drank half a bottle by yourself. It's crazy when you think about it, and I'm sure, believe me, I know it's not the healthiest thing in the world. That's why, you know, wintertime I kind of tame it down. But yeah, man, I hear you. I mean, I don't want to say you're a bad drinker. You're just not the type to, I can go and kill a, you know, half bottle of alcohol. You know.
No, I fully concede that. I'm not a good drinker. I'm not skilled at it on any level. But this is what's great. I mean, if you're adept at consuming the alcohol, Cap, you gotta cherish those moments, because,
yeah,
I know that it gets worse. Like, you gotta cherish.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's gonna get tougher with every, like, decade. It'll be that much tougher to take, you know, that, you know, an extra 2 drinks and here and there. So if you can pound
it already, college days, man. I feel it already.
Oh my gosh, you're not gonna. Okay. Yeah, no, it starts right about, you know, like 27. It starts to slow down, and then you get to 32. And it's just,
how about the hangovers? I remember in college, man, we'd go from Friday, Saturday, we'd be drinking Sunday. I could drink 3 days in a row in college and wake up on Monday and go to class and do whatever. Now I have one day of drink, I'm in bed the whole next day. You know, it's crazy. The older you get, the worse the hangovers, the less energy you have the next day.
Always.
It's crazy, man. It's scary.
It is.
Scary.
And I'm like, and granted, I'm a lightweight, but it's like, this is 30. What's going to happen at 40? It's just like, it's, oh my gosh. Can't even imagine. Boy, how old are you now? I haven't even been keeping track of it now. I mean, we've been together, we've known each other for so long.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think I got involved with you guys, you know, knowing you back, I might have been like, you know, 24, 25. I'm 29 now.
Okay.
And I remember doing a podcast with you about baseball and about sabermetrics, I think. One of our first
podcasts. That was our first show.
In my old, yeah. old office.
Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, I remember that. I must have been, it must have been around 2009,
yes.
2010 maybe?
Yes, I think it was.
But
it was...
I had talked to you before that, so I had to be a good, we've had to have been interacting for a good, you know, 5 years. You know, I would say 5-6 years.
Yep. Amazing how the time flies. I mean, I'm thinking of clips that
yeah.
you know, we were talking about, and they're like 3 years, 4 years ago now. It's like unbelievable how things just go woof like that, you know. So
it's crazy, man. I remember, you know, the whole Nick Swisher thing. I remember calling you during playoff games. I remember the Yankees in Texas when they came back and won. I called you. I mean,
that's right, yeah.
It's really, time does fly, man. It is crazy. And the thing is, I feel like that stuff just happened. But, you know, when I think about it, I'm like, that didn't just happen. That was like 4 years ago. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's, I mean, this is so long ago when I joined the Mike Francesa. It was just MikeFrancesa.com then. It was a different site. And
so I definitely, if you were on the old place, I've definitely known you since like, 2008 around.
Yeah, it would be. It was
to be close to 7.
It was pretty.
Years.
It was late 2008. I remember the first
okay.
thing I remember joining the site. This is a story most people have probably heard, but I'll say it again. I remember the first thing I remember when I listened to Mike, the very first Mike Francesa show I heard when because I was very late to the game. All you guys have been listening since you were babies, but I tuned in very late.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I remember was the CC Sabathia press conference. That's the first thing I remember. And
okay.
he was complaining about the number, about the guy who asked the question about the number of pinstripes on his jersey.
Pinstripes,
yeah. That cracked me up. That's the first comment I ever remember from Mike. He's like, what is this guy talking about the number of pinstripes for? Gosh, I can't believe how, that was when he started. Now CeCe's kind of like ending his career. It's crazy.
Now he's shot. Yeah, it's crazy.
I can't believe it, man. Oh, man.
I know. I think about me. I mean, with guys like Jeter and Mo, I went through elementary school watching those guys, and now I was at the guy at his last game when he was 40. It's like, where the hell does time go?
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you're turning 30? That's blowing my mind here. I can't even imagine you 30. That's
scary, man.
Oh, my
very,
gosh.
Very scary. I have to actually be an adult.
Oh, my. Wow. Jerry and Piscataway, our guests, and just a tremendous time chatting and reminiscing. Let me ask you, winter's brutal where you are. But as the weather improves, I imagine you'll be taking some additional trips out to the great heartland here in America. What do you have planned for this year? What are your big trips for 2015?
I am excited. As the weather starts to turn, obviously I'm going to be heading down the shore sometime. We're talking about going to Ocean City, Maryland sometime this summer to go check out, you know, the different scenes there. I heard it's a wild scene. They have a place called Secrets that's half in the water, swim up bars, club. Supposed to be a really, really good time. Everybody who's gone to Ocean City had done nothing but rave about it and said how much fun they had, so I'm excited to do that. I'm actually planning a trip to go to a bachelor party in New Orleans at the end of August. I should be doing that. Some trips, obviously, to AC this summer. I always look forward to those. Get on the blackjack table, day drinking outside. Those are always fun. What else here? Just, you know, local, going to Hoboken probably in the next 2 weeks, and pretty much it. You know, I spent a lot of my summers down the shore. You know, this summer I'll probably venture out, like I said, to Ocean City, Maryland, and to other places, and like I said, I'm supposed to go to New Orleans. So a couple things are in the mix. You know, other things always pop up, some different events, and, you know, I know I have a couple weddings coming up in the next couple months, so... Should be, as the weather turns, things should get a lot more eventful.
Oh, I like it. And the stories will fly. And back to New Orleans, I love that. I mean, you certainly broke it down greatly.
Oh, yeah, going back.
Oh, I love it. Beads galore. Beads galore. You give out the beads and good things happen. I think that's right, how it works. Yeah, that's right. I need to go.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun out there. I recommend it to anybody. I mean, it's great. The food is
incredible. The people are really nice. Bourbon Street is crazy, man. Everything, drinks are cheap. You can get three drinks for the price of one. The bars are a lot of fun. They have a beautiful Harris Casino right around the corner. So if anybody wants to take in a different culture, I definitely recommend New Orleans.
I love it. I love it. You don't even need an excuse to go, really, but I'm sure this is a good occasion for you and your buddies. Good times. Good times.
Definitely.
I love it. Okay, Cap. Well, I think that's going to do it for tonight, but it's just a great feeler, a great preview for everybody here. We'll have more of our friend Jerry Piscataway next week when we start our MLB preview podcast. What are you looking most
for? Oh, I can't wait.
Is that going to be good?
I can't wait.
Going to be good. Going to be good.
I'm excited. You know, I love this time of year, Dave. I mean, when we start getting in that, you know, deep baseball talk in the mornings and stuff like that, I love it. I mean, I lose track of time. You know, I'll be talking, and the next time I look up, and it'll be lunchtime. I mean, it's great, man. I love this time of year. I love the different predictions and, you know, different things that are going on in spring training camps and who's going to do what this year and piecing things together. I just love baseball season. Every night there's a different story, and it's exciting. Now, granted, I really don't have, you know, high hopes for my team this year, but I am looking forward to following the league and seeing what transpires and, you know, see what happens. But I'm looking forward to next week. And, Dave, this has been great. The time has just flown by. It was great shooting the shit with you. And you didn't even get me all riled up about Moncada, which is great. I can actually go to bed without, you know, getting all angry.
We have a two-hour show next week, which gives you plenty of time to make that rant. And it sounds like it was it was not a good day for the Yankees when that happened with Moncada. I mean, we'll keep him wanting more. So stay tuned next week. We'll have the Cap back. We'll talk about Moncada and all the rest of baseball. Till then, enjoy your week. Great to hear from you again, Cap Man.
You too, Dave. I really appreciate it. I can't say it enough. You are the best, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Well, thanks so much, man. All right, take it easy. All right, bud. That's Jerry and Piscataway to close us out in our first half hour. And now we enter our second hour where we have our Oscars recap. Tommy's already standing by to break down the particulars. Let us give to you our winners and losers, mostly winners, from the Academy Awards in 2015. Here we go. Let's start with the live-action short film, The Phone Call, your winner. Doesn't seem like an exciting movie, does it? But on we go. Best animated short film. I don't agree with this at all. Beast, which I saw. Nice movie. I didn't think it was worth the winner. I just think, you know, I'll break that down a little bit further. Production design winner, Grand Budapest Hotel. Production design by Adam Stockhausen. Set decoration by Anna Pincock. And makeup and hairstyling, your winner is Grand Budapest Hotel. Costume design, the Grand Budapest Hotel again. I was watching this on the Oscars. It was crazy. They were winning like three awards in a row. Unreal. But now we move on to cinematography. Your winner is not the Grand Budapest Hotel. It is Birdman. Emmanuel Lubezki. Ooh, that's nice. He was on the Mark in the Morning show on 100.3 The Sound recently. And visual effects goes to Interstellar. That's stellar. Film editing, your winner is Tom Cross. Original score, The Grand Budapest Hotel, again with another Oscar. The best foreign language film goes to Ida of Poland. And the biggies, original song, Glory from Selma. Documentary feature, your winner is Citizen Four by Laura Poitras, Melchizedek Bonifoy, and Dick Wilutsky. Best animated feature, again, I don't know where they were going with this. Big Hero 6. Good movie. I didn't think it was the best movie last year, did you? On we go. Now for the biggies. The biggies of the biggies. Okay. Original big screenplay goes to Birdman, written by Alejandro G. Iñárritu, Nicholas Giacobone, Alexander Dinolaris Jr., and Armando Bo. Nice. Best Adapted Screenplay goes to The Imitation Game, written by Graham Moore. Best Supporting Actress, Patricia Arquette in Boyhood. Best Supporting Actor, J.K. Simmons in Whiplash. Best Director is Birdman, directed by Alejandro G. Iñárritu. Best Actress is Julianne Moore in a well-deserved Oscar in Still Alice. Best Actor, Eddie Redmayne with a wonderful speech in The Theory of Everything. And Best Picture, Birdman by Alejandro Iñárritu, John Lesher, and James W. Stuckdepole, your producers. So Best Picture this year goes to Birdman for the 2015 Oscars, where there were not many surprises, but some disappointments from my point of view. So let's go to Tom in New Jersey for the particulars of this one. Tom, welcome to the program. How's it going tonight?
Dave, I am well. How are you?
Pretty good. We hope you got a chance to listen to some of our friend Jerry in our number one. Just a great spot. Well, let's do it. Oscar recap. And I'll tell you my disappointments, but let's start with you. What were your overall impressions of the awards and the program?
I thought Neil Patrick Harris was a little bit, I guess the best word to describe him would be average. I thought his opening was good, but it was a little short. He was also very safe. He didn't do many jokes. He wasn't good with the one-liners, which is what you need with the Oscars, considering that most of the award show is pretty dull, and the winners don't really do much with the speeches. Most of them have a political agenda, or they're mostly just thanking people. So the host is supposed to be funny. He's supposed to keep the show going, and I didn't think Neil Patrick Harris did a good job with that. I thought his whole thing with Octavia Spencer and guessing what what's going to happen with the awards, I thought that bit was absolutely awful. I think everybody knew how awful it was going to be. I remember tweeting to you how awful it was going to be, and it was as bad as expected.
And
it was an absolute joke.
Yep.
I thought the awards, as you said, was expected. I was disappointed that Michael Keaton didn't win. I knew the nerd, as I call him, Eddie, would win. He had a great performance. I still haven't seen that movie, even though I have a copy of it, so that says something. Where I really have no interest in seeing
that
movie.
Not grabbing you.
Yeah, I have no interest seeing that movie. I could care less about Stephen Hawking and his anti-Semite views. I could care less.
Ooh, wow. Now, see, I'm not fully keen on that, but let's move on anyway. Continue.
Yeah, that was just a throwaway. I'm not sure if he's anti-Semite, but according to my Jewish friends, he is. And I have a few Jewish friends who refuse to see the movie because of that reason. So
well,
if they don't want to see it, neither do I. So
I can respect that.
I was really I was disappointed Keenan didn't win because I thought he had a great career. And I understand that the award isn't for a career, it's for one performance. But I thought Keenan did a good job. Another thing is I was surprised Boyhood didn't win for Best Picture. I thought for sure that was going to win for Best Picture. But for like the past month or so, it seemed like Birdman was getting more and more momentum for some weird reason. Maybe it's because Boyhood was released in July and
right,
it was losing steam. But I thought a movie that took 10 years to make would win. And I thought, to be honest with you, I thought Whiplash was the best movie, but I knew it had no shot at winning for whatever reason. They didn't think it was that great of a movie. It was more of a performance-type movie where the performances were great, but the script itself wasn't great. But personally, I thought Whiplash should have won, but whatever. What else? Supporting actress Patricia Arquette, great performance. That was an easy choice. Best lead actress? Who won that? I don't remember.
Julianne Moore, right?
Oh, Julianne Moore.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore. That was a great performance, too. I didn't see that movie. I think maybe 10 people saw the movie, but I'm going to go with the 10 people that saw it and said it was a great performance, so I'll go with them. She's had a great career, so maybe it was a career award where they felt she had so many great roles that she deserved it, kind of like Henry Fonda in On Golden Pond, where he didn't really deserve it for that role, but he had so many other great roles that they felt, oh, we're going to give it to him. So maybe that was the same scenario with Julianne Moore. Best director, I thought I thought that was the right choice with the guy Alejandro from Birdman. I guess I'm not sure of this, but usually the best director usually wins for best picture too, kind of like Titanic with Cameron. So it's not really a surprise that he got both. Best screenplay. Who won that again, Dave?
Best screenplay. We have original screenplay and adapted screenplay. Original went to Birdman, and adapted was the Imitation Game.
Yeah, I don't understand the difference between the two, but I usually just go by original screenplay, and I thought that was well deserved too. So I guess the biggest thing I take from it was that Glory's performance was unbelievable, and we both tweeted about it, how great it was. And I thought Lady Gaga was unbelievable. And there's a lot of clowns who don't realize how good Lady Gaga is, and I've been saying it for years. She can actually sing really well. She just wanted to make a living, so she put out trashy music. But she actually has a lot of talent. And I'm surprised that so many people were dim-bulbed and didn't realize how talented she really is. She took Twitter by storm for about a half hour. I think a lot of people thought it was the highlight of the night. That and the performance by John Legend, who everybody knows is great, and Common did his thing. But overall, I would say pretty average.
Yeah.
It ran a little bit long, but I don't really mind that. I mean, it's only one night. If you want to go to bed, just go to bed. I understand it runs long, but I don't mind that. But yeah, overall average, I would say, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, it's not much there. I think overall the program was kind of dull, kind of ho hum. I think average is a good word for it. You know, nothing on the whole was not anything particularly memorable, but it did have some very memorable moments. And I think I don't know if you brought it the Selma tribute, but I was big on it. I loved it. I thought it was great. You know, and I grant you, it's not about music. It's supposed to be about movies, but I thought it was great. And I thought Lady Gaga was spectacular, just fantastic. So those are my highlights.
I think the big thing with what makes a great show is the host. And unfortunately, Neil Patrick Harris didn't do that good of a job.
Yeah.
And for years, they always talk about how great of a job Billy Crystal did, and he is the Oscars, and I think, what's his name from The Office, did the Golden Globes a couple times, and he was great because he was really good with one-liners, and he made fun of all the stars. I don't know if Neil Patrick Harris was afraid to make fun of the stars or what, but he's not a comedian. You need a comedian to host, because all the host does is introduce the other people, and he says one or two witty lines, and that's it. And then he gives it to the presenters. And I don't think Neil Patrick Harris did that good of a job with that. And I don't know what the producers and the director of the show really expects from someone who's not really a comedian. He's never done stand-up. All he does is he's an actor.
Right.
And I really don't know what they're expecting from some of these hosts. And have Tina Fey and Amy Poehler do their thing, or even Alec Baldwin. I know a lot of people can't stand him, but he is funny. Have someone who's actually funny host the show. Make it entertaining. That's the point.
Yeah, I mean, it's somebody that can improvise is usually a good choice. And it's I wasn't big on it either. I love NPH. I think he's terrific and tremendous in most things he does, and he's a great actor. And he's funny, but in this environment, it wasn't quite there. You can tell when something clicks with a host, with anything in radio or a TV show, or especially if it's live. Because, you know, when it's, like, recorded, you can mix it around and you can make things look better. But when you have live TV, that's when you really realize who the real talents are. And, I mean, and he is a real talent. But on this program, it wasn't clicking. Like, you can tell when something clicks. It's like, you know, in football broadcasting, same thing. Didn't see it here. And you were totally right about those gags he was doing. The box thing. it's like it was a telegraph joke, and it's like this is not going to end well. And then, like you said, it didn't. So it was probably not going to hear from him again for a while. And I will say this: the Oscars is an impossible hosting task. I would never want the task of hosting the Oscars. Too much stuffiness. Too many people with, you know, who think very highly of themselves. It's just like, how are you going to entertain a group like that? By the way, what did you think of Seth MacFarlane? I guess we had you on when he was on, but let me just ask you again. What did you think of his hosting assignment?
I didn't think he was very good either, and I remember reading a few days ago that a lot of people didn't think he was good either. I think there's only a handful of people who can do it. I think Ricky Gervais can do it. I think from the women perspective, maybe Amy Poehler and Tina Fey could probably do it. I mean, they killed it with it with the Golden Globes. They were great. I think Jon Stewart could probably do it if he really wanted to. Chris Rock, maybe. Probably not, but I don't think a lot of the mainstream audience would like him, but I think he'd be okay.
Mainstream, huh?
Yeah, there's only a handful of people who can really do it. Even like someone like Letterman can't do it.
Right.
He was awful. He was awful when he did it. And I don't think Jay Leno could do it. There's only a handful of really people who can really do it. I think Billy Crystal could probably still do it, but he's getting old. I mean, I think he's either 70 or close to it. I mean, it's a little too late for him. I don't think he really wants to. He did it for like 10 straight years. I bet they've asked him to do it a million times. He just says no, because they always want the safe choice. So they probably asked Billy a bunch of times to do it. He always says no, probably. But as I said, there's only like a handful of guys and maybe one or two women who can do it. So it's tough.
Yeah. It's too bad. I mean, it doesn't set itself up for an easy hosting gig assignment. So the ones who can, they are indeed very special. So very good. Good to have your recap again, Tom. Anything else you wanted to bring up before we part ways for the evening?
We could do a little bit of NBA.
Let's talk some NBA. We got time. Let's do it. Let's chat a little bit about the association. I'm into it. All right. Let's start.
The Clippers are playing right now, aren't they?
Yeah, we got an update from that game. It's Houston's up 101-93 against the Clippers. We are less than 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So Houston, after going nip and tuck with them for about three quarters, starting to show a little distance. But again, it's not over yet by any means. And I'll tell you this, I think the Clippers, you know, they had a little mojo going after Blake Griffin left due to the staph infection. He was out, and they actually played pretty well in the beginning. But I think at this point, now they're starting to play their good teams. Memphis pretty much locked them down. Pretty much, Chris Paul had to put up like a 35-point game, and he had a bunch of assists, and it still wasn't enough. He had a turnover late in the game, and they blew it. Just shows you how much the Memphis Grizzlies did to lock down the rest of the team. Nobody else is having any momentum offensively. So the point of all that is the Clippers are in a bit of a state of flux, but they did have a nice start. But now we're about to see whether they're really going to be hurting without Blake Griffin. It's an interesting team. Doesn't seem like a team that has great chemistry. That's my look at it. I'm fairly close to the situation. What is your take on the Clippers now after a couple weeks?
I think about like a game or a half a game out of the five seed. I think Houston has the five seed. I think Clippers are either six or seven. And Oklahoma City is pretty much set in stone with the eight seed now. I think they have a game and a half, maybe two-game lead off Phoenix. But Clippers are a very weird team to figure out because they have a great player. They have a top-ten player and Chris Paul, who, as you said, could take over a game, but still it's not enough all the time. And they have Blake Griffin, and then they got Jordan, who you can't have on the floor at the end of these games, obviously, because he shot 28 free throws the other day. He made 12 or whatever it was. It was a joke.
Terrible.
And their teams are just going to keep fouling him. So he can't be on the floor. What are you going to do for rebounding? Griffin, for his size, is okay at rebounding, but he's not anything like Jordan, who averages about 13 a game. So they're in a tough spot. I don't think they're good enough, to be honest with you.
No,
I think getting to the second round would be an accomplishment this year.
It's tough. I mean, I know we'd always say in the past they're a deep team, I think it's just going to be tough. Their defense is simply not good enough to advance them much further than they are. And were you the one that said this? I think you were. Where you said that Chris Paul's not as great as we've perceived him to be over the years. Is that you that said that? I think it was, because you're the last that spoke.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was. I think I might have said in the last podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
He is a great player, but he doesn't dominate like he should sometimes late in these games. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, he's not dominating late in these games. And I think for them to make a deep run in the playoffs, he's going to have to, because who's their second shooter? It's Crawford or Redick. You can't rely on those guys, especially Crawford. Crawford is the most frustrating player in the league. He's just a chucker. All he cares about is scoring. He's Mr. Me. He's like J.R. Smith. He just chucks up shots. He can't look at his numbers. All he does is score. He scores about 16 a game, and he gets 2 assists and 2 rebounds a game. He is like a worse version of John Starks. He doesn't defend. All he can do is score. And he's a heat check guy. You can't put him in for very long, because he kills you on defense. And if he's not, you know within 5 minutes of him being in the game if he has it or not.
That's true. And I think that's what was part of where the Clippers were doing pretty well, at least temporarily, in Blake Griffin's absence. Guys were killing it from 3-point range. You know, Redick was getting shots. Crawford, you just mentioned, it was red hot, and you had guys from all over the court putting in baskets. It was just, it was something that you said, you know what, this ain't going to last, and eventually someone's going to take them down and cut them down. I thought the Spurs might have done that, but no, the Clippers went on and they beat them handily. All right, we've talked enough about the Clippers. That's enough. Because, like you said, they're not going that far in the playoffs. It's kind of not even worth our time. One team that we thought might have had potential, but does not look like it's going to have the chemistry that they need. And we already spoke about one of these teams. But the other team, the Dallas Mavericks, Rajon Rondo suspended one game for getting in an altercation with his coach yesterday. So it seemed like a good idea at the time, but the rumblings about him being a clubhouse cancer and a coach killer seem to have come to the fore. Can you believe it? You know, a guy that with that many assists being a selfish guy. But many people have made that point. So now the Dallas Mavericks are kind of in a tough spot. Yeah, let's talk a little about Mavericks basketball. How is Rajon Rondo affecting the team positively or negatively?
He's a cancer on the team.
Wow.
And I guarantee it, he will be a New York Knick next year. He's good friends with Carmelo Anthony.
Oh,
I think they both have the same agent. So, and the Knicks are going to completely overpay for him, because they're going to be the only team dumb enough to do it. There's about 10 point guards better than him right now. I think he's shooting about 32% from the line.
Wow.
That's a joke. For a point guard to be shooting 32% from the line, I mean, does he even practice shooting?
I don't think he tries. It's been like the
forever. I don't think he gives a shit.
No.
I don't think he gives a shit. He just passes the ball, and Carlisle flipped down on him because he didn't want to run the play that Carlisle ran. Carlisle's the type of coach that every play he designs, so I guess Rondo was like, well, let me do something on my own, and then Carlisle flipped down on him. But and obviously, with Dallas suspending him for one game says a lot, because it's not like the league suspended him. The team suspended him, so not a good sign. But expect the Knicks to sign him in the offseason, and expect a lot of stupid Knicks. I guarantee it, Knicks fans will be stupid and be all excited because we have the number 2 pick and we got Rondo. Wow, that's great. And I will screw up that number 2 pick too by taking that guard from Ohio State. If we take him with the number 2 pick instead of Towns, I'll be irate, Dave.
Wow.
I'll be going off like Captain, going nuts.
Will you be dropping fecal matter on cars? Yes.
I'll be going nuts. Oh, I'll boy. Be like, I'm surprised Captain held it in. I didn't hear the podcast, but I didn't see him go off on Twitter about the Yankees not signing that Cuban.
No,
whatever
he was livid on the
Cato
board. Yeah, he was livid on the board about it, no doubt.
Oh, he was? Okay.
Yeah, he was pretty livid about it. And, you know, next week when we get into the subject, we'll broach it this time. When we get him back, he will lay loose. That'll probably be the way we open the show. We'll just have him go on and just let loose, because it's going to be theater, man. It's going to be theater. Bring the popcorn. So Tom in New Jersey still
did
with
he,
us.
Did he mention the rumor that Steinbrenner might not want to own the team for much longer and he's thinking about selling? Did he mention that at all?
It was mentioned. I don't remember if he mentioned it or someone else, but it was definitely mentioned on the interwebs yesterday. The rumblings about the Yankees wanting to sell long term, and
that might be the best case.
It might be the way to go.
The father would never lose out on a player like this over $5 million.
That's unbelievable.
And I don't know.
I know. Like, oh, how could the Yankees be complaining about this and that? But it surprised me. It really does. It surprised me.
And I don't want to hear it from Timmy Russo and that in the big spot on the board about the Red Sox, the Yankees overpaying for everybody, and the Yankees get everybody they want, and the Yankee payroll. The Red Sox payroll is just as bad, if not worse. And
oh, yeah.
Timmy Russo has been going on and on for the past 10 years on the board, whining about the Yankee payroll. That's done with. You can't do that anymore. It's over. That's finished. You can't complain about that anymore. And you can't complain about that either as a Dodger fan.
I don't think I have been, though. Have I been complaining
about
the
Yankees? No, you've been good.
Okay. Just,
you've been good.
Just making sure. I'm sure there are other people, things I can be ripped for, but
I'm just I'm just pissed because the Yankees never lose out on guys like this. This isn't the Yankee way. And the Yankees needed him 10 times more than the Red Sox did. Look at the Red Sox infield. They don't need this kid. What the hell are the Yankees doing? I don't understand it. They need offense. And there's a 19-year-old kid who might be 3 or 4 years away, maybe 2 if they're lucky, but still, sign him. And I know the Yankees have been going nuts the past couple years with international players. I get that. But what's one more? Now I don't think they can do that for the next couple years. I think they capped out with international signings. So yeah. I think because of the new rule, they're not allowed to for the next two years. So I don't understand what they're doing.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, no, I mean, it just seems like they seem a little bit clueless about it. Maybe they just don't think that they want to sell tickets and they got to get somebody that'll be hot now. But this is the kind of guy, and you saw it with Yasiel Puig, that can become a big deal in only a couple years. It's beats me. Anyway, before we continue with our coverage of the NBA, we were even talking about NBA, but before we continue, I have a score update from ESPN. Virginia Tech is up on Duke 60-59. And I had to check to double check this was men's basketball, not the women's. That's a big upset if they lose that game. So I'll put it on that game in a minute. Wow.
Villanova again, the 1 seed, Dave. How about that?
How about that, man? That's big time. That is big time. Remember when Providence was making a run? They looked like they were a big deal. And then Villanova, I think they just crushed them the other day. So Nova getting
last
it
night,
together.
Yeah.
Getting it together. And so, man.
I don't think, even with Duke losing this game, I think they still could be the 1 seed over Villanova. Right now, I think the 1 seeds are Gonzaga and Kentucky are guarantees, unless Gonzaga loses in the tournament. I don't think it's very fair that Gonzaga gets a 1 seed when they haven't played a single team that's going to be in the tournament since December. I don't think that's right. I know they had a good non-conference schedule, but I don't think that's fair. Kentucky's a guarantee, even if they lose a game or two, but obviously just one. I think they could lose, but I really don't expect them to. Maybe they'll get knocked off in the tournament, but I'd be surprised. And then Virginia, Duke, Wisconsin, and Villanova are going to fight for the other two. I think the front runners, I think Virginia, with their schedule and the way they played, I think they're pretty much a lock. And then I think with Wisconsin losing last night, it wasn't a bad loss. They lost to Maryland on the road, so it's not really a terrible loss, but they lost. So I think, and Villanova, I think they've won a lot in many games in a row now. I think maybe 8 or 9. So they're doing well, but they haven't really played anyone that great. So I still get the edge to Duke. It's going to be Virginia and Duke. Now, if Duke losing to Virginia Tech, that's a bad loss, right? Virginia Tech's not a good team, so.
Yeah, this is going to be bad because Virginia Tech, I think Virginia Tech either lost, no, I think they may have lost to Syracuse. So that's a bad
team. Did.
They if they didn't lose, they were very close to losing. Not good. But let me give you
I'm sure the Villanova fan base is excited now, thinking they might have a shot to 1-seed with Wisconsin and Duke both losing. But Villanova still has to run the table.
Right.
They still have to win the biggest tournament. They still have to win the remaining games. Anything can happen. But I think Villanova's got a shot to sneak in that 1-seed. And the Providence coach, last night after the game, when a reporter asked him if how come Villanova's getting no play for anyone saying why aren't they a 1-seed, and he said that the media is a bunch of Stevie Wonders and Ray Charleses, and that they're not looking at they're blind, they're not watching.
Wow. Well, that's a nice vote of support to Nova, though. That's cool. So that's cool too.
I mean, the Providence coach was going to say that. I mean, their team just lost by 28 to Villanova, so it's not that big of a surprise. But still, for him to say that was kind of funny.
Right. You know, let's give you an update on that game. It's been back and forth. You know, the Duke had a little lead, and Virginia Tech took the lead back 67-66. And there's a lot of game left. There's under 8 minutes to go, but it's like 7:55 left in the game. So we'll keep an eye on it the rest of the hour. Duke and Virginia Tech. Wow, that's impressive.
I think Duke will pull it out, don't you?
Yeah, they'll pull it out. I mean, I remember when they were down to Virginia, they were at Virginia and they were losing that game, getting thoroughly outplayed. Remember this on the Saturday night on ESPN, and they had an amazing comeback in that game just to win it. They really had to gut that one out, and it took every ounce of their resolve to get that win. And Okafor was getting big rebounds and making big plays. It was a big win for Duke that night. That was like the biggest, for me, that was the biggest win of the year. Because I think Virginia really had the head on their shoulders. They really wanted that game. I was impressed. That was the most impressive win that Duke
Virginia
had.
Was undefeated.
Yeah, that's true. They were undefeated. So really, really big win. Again, Duke looked like they were done. I mean, they were down by a lot of points, but you kind of had that feeling, you know, that they were getting no momentum offensively. To have them come back like that was just so impressive. So I got to give major props to Krzyzewski on that one. Oh, my. So you like Duke more than Kentucky right now? Because you said there was going to be Duke versus Virginia, or are you just referring to the ACC?
No, I was just referring to the ACC.
Oh, okay.
The thing, I like Kentucky, but I think they can get knocked off. Everybody keeps talking about how big they are and everything, but what's it called? The two twin brothers, Harrison brothers, they're not that great. And if they're struggling, they're going to have trouble scoring. I know they're going to get a ton of offensive rebounds. I know they're finally giving the ball to Towns. I don't know what they were doing through most of the year, but they just refused to give him the ball for whatever reason. They're finally giving him the ball, but you really don't want a big guy to be your go-to guy down the stretch, especially in college. It's a guard league. It's always going to end up being on the guards. And last year, I'll give both Harrison brothers credit. They both came out to play. They both played well. But I don't think they've been that great this year. I think Duke has a lot of talent, but they really stink defensively. They're really bad defensively, but they have a lot of talent. I don't think this is going to be like Duke losing in the second round to some Lehigh or some weird team like last year. They're not like that this year. They have a lot too much talent. I'd be shocked if they lost early. And I think they could give Kentucky a game. I think Wisconsin might be the only other team that could give Kentucky a really good game if they played well. But you really need a hot team. I'm not going out of the limb here, but you really need a hot team to shoot well outside to beat Kentucky. Maybe Villanova could do it, but Villanova's problem is they don't have enough size. They would just get absolutely destroyed down low by Kentucky, and whenever they need 2 points, they'll be able to get it. For as big of a homer as I am with Villanova, I don't think they have much of a shot against Kentucky. I heard Michael J. Wright saying that he thinks Villanova would have a shot, but I don't really see it. And listening to Jay Wright, I don't think he really believes it either, because he said he wants to play Kentucky in the Final Four, and that's obviously the obvious answer, but you could just tell. I don't think he thinks the team could beat Kentucky too of their size, but maybe I'm reading into things too much, but just by judging by his answers, I don't think he thought Villanova had that much of a chance against Kentucky, and he's hoping to get knocked off beforehand. But to answer your question, I think Kentucky is going to win, but I could see them getting knocked off. But I would say 90% sure that they're going to win.
And if it's not Kentucky, it's probably Duke, but I would favor Kentucky anyway. I would not favor them to be undefeated, though, but I don't. But my look at it is that if they lose a game, it's probably going to be in the SEC tournament. I've said that for weeks, but we'll see.
The problem is that the SEC is awful.
I know. It's so bad.
It's an absolutely awful league. They have had no competition. That's another thing, is that if they get down 8 or 10 points in the first half in the NCAA tournament, when's the last time they've been down 8 or 10 points? I know they were down 8 or 10 points a few weeks ago, a month ago, and they came back roaring, but it's totally different in the NCAA tournament. And I don't know if they could, with their competition of who they played, I don't know if they could withstand that.
Interesting point. They've not been challenged. Much like it's the Gonzaga problem. They haven't been challenged all year. And it's going to be – I mean, the biggest challenge they had, from my recollection, was LSU. And really, they could have won that game. That's what was so crazy to me about that. It was just like LSU's right there. Couldn't believe it. But maybe I could believe it.
LSU was a joke at the end of that game. I remember that game really well. And they had the ball. LSU couldn't even get a shot up. That's how bad they were late in that game. That was a joke. Any competent team would have been in Kentucky that night. That was a disgrace.
That's disappointing, isn't it? Don't you hate it when that happens, when incompetence loses a game and you had the game? Just unreal. Let's give you an update from the NBA. The Rockets beat the Clippers 110-105. Pretty predictable outcome, to be honest. But now the Clippers are starting to get into the meat of this schedule. They're starting to play the good teams. My question to you is about the Rockets. Josh Smith, the known clubhouse cancer, that's what everyone says. This is a team that I'm not quite buying, but they have the goods. They've got James Harden playing very well, playing better defense. I don't know. He looks a little better defensively. And Howard's been off and on fighting injuries, but he's when he isn't playing, he's doing a pretty decent job defensively. So where's your take? Where are you with the Rockets? Are you buying or are you selling?
Let's be honest, Dave. 1-8, the Western Conference is amazing.
Yeah.
Would it be that surprising if any of those 8 teams made it to the finals?
No.
I mean,
no, you're right. You're
we
right.
Just not, we knocked the Clippers, but they have enough talent to pull it out. Totally. I mean, any of these 8 teams. I mean, the Thunder have as good of a chance as any of these teams. They're going to be the 8th seed. So what does that say?
You know, it's
but
funny.
But to answer your question, I think, I think Harden is going to be the MVP. I know a lot of people think Curry. I think LeBron might have an outside shot now with the way Cleveland's been playing. I think Cleveland's going to end up winning 60 games some way or another. They've been on a roll. But I don't trust Dwight Howard. Parsons was an awful signing. I know he hasn't performed. He's only averaging about 15 a game. I mean, you're going to give Parsons that type of money to average 15 a game? I mean, come on. Beverly's a nice little guard, but, I mean, I would not want to put him at the foul line in games. I wouldn't trust him. He can't score. The rest of I mean, they're good, obviously, because they had the best player right this year.
Right.
I mean, Harden's averaging 27 a game, and he's actually playing defense. And I remember for years we were killing him for not playing defense because he's putting no effort. But
you wouldn't try, but now he
does.
Yeah,
but he's been good this year.
Oh, he has been good this year, absolutely.
And that's all I told you is effort, and he's not finally putting in effort, and good for him.
Difference.
But, I mean, anything can happen, Dave. I mean, that's what's great about the Western Conference. And if it weren't for the Western Conference, I don't think anyone would watch the NBA because the Eastern Conference is an absolute joke. And I feel bad for Chicago Bulls fans.
Yeah.
I mean, Derrick Rose is 26 years old and his career might be over. It's sad.
It's very sad. There's no sugarcoating it. Derrick Rose wrecking it was a meniscus tear, I believe it was, yesterday. And the injury problems continue after such a long return back. He's back on the shelf once again, out for the season. It's tough. I mean, look, I know some people out there don't like people showing sympathy to their teams, but it's tough not to feel sympathetic for Chicago Bulls fans right now. That's a tough – I mean, he's so good when he's in there. He's got so much heart. He really likes – he really plays hard, and he's good defensively and just a tremendous player, but can't stay healthy. And it's almost as if we've gotten to a point where he knows he can't stay healthy, so – it's been conjectured by, I think Jason Smith on Twitter wrote this last night, that his long delay is coming back or due to the fact that he's aware of how brittle he really is. So he really takes his time. And surely enough, he hurts himself before the end of the year again. And it's definitely a frustrating existence for no one more so than Rose himself. Derrick Rose, a real competitor, and it's a real shame that he couldn't do more with his playing time than he has.
What is Chicago going to do next year when they get Rose return? They can't start him. They can't play him 40 minutes a game anymore.
Yeah.
They're going to have to baby him to no end. They're going to have him come off the bench, be like a heat check guy where he comes in for 15, plays 15 or 20 minutes a game. You can't have him play 40 minutes a game. There's no way he can do that right now. So for the next 2 years when he comes back, you're going to have him coming off the bench. You're going to have to sign another point guard. Their team is in a lot of trouble now. And I feel bad for the diehard Bulls fans who have been putting up with this team, being good but not great.
Yeah.
Thibodeau destroying the team because he takes every game like it's the last game of his life coaching. I mean, he makes preseason games a big deal. I know that's the only way he coaches, but I know the Bulls management's kind of getting sick of him the way he coaches, and he makes every game like a huge battle. And I don't know if he's going to be able to coach Rose because he only cares about that particular game that night, and he needs to realize. And I know they babied up Rose a little bit this year, but they can't have him going 40 minutes a night anymore. And I know he wasn't going 40 minutes this year, but the way Thibodeau, before he got hurt, he was getting close to going 40 minutes a night. And Rose was playing great for about 3 weeks before he got hurt, which is very unfortunate. But clearly, he can't play. He can't start anymore. Otherwise, he's going to be like Brandon Roy, and he's going to be out of the league.
Well, he may be close to that as it is. Like, it's every game from this point forward with Derrick Rose is going to be touch and go. So, and building around, they built around that, and they're really having a tough time of it. There's no doubt about it. But let's get to a more optimistic story now in the Eastern Conference, the Atlanta Hawks, who I think a lot of people are skeptical on, and I'm going to be the rare dissenting voice in that. I think this team can do it. I think Jeff Teague is a great player, and I think he can be your go-to guy with the Hawks. Everyone's like, oh, we don't have a superstar, but Jeff Teague's pretty good. I mean, he was really torching the Indiana Pacers last year in the playoffs. I like Jeff Teague, and he's doing it again this year. I haven't looked at the stats. Not really. I'm not as big a stats guy when it comes to NBA. I am with baseball, but I love the way he plays. I think he can be good in the clutch. And I think Al Horford and Korver and Schroeder, as a bouncer off the bench, Paul Millsap, these guys have all been doing it together. They're shooting well from three-point range. They are very good defensively, and they just work well together. And I suppose there aren't any household names on here. You hear from guys like Mike Scott and Kent, maybe occasionally you hear from Kent Bazemore. I didn't even realize Elton Brand was still in the league, but apparently he's on the roster. I'm big on the Hawks. I guess I'm just going to be on an island with that. But what do you think about the Hawks, Tom? Can they compete with the best of the Eastern Conference?
I think clearly they can compete. A team like Washington is fading away. I don't know what's wrong with that team. They need Bradley Beal back in the worst way.
Yeah, he's getting hurt all the time,
they've been giving up 110 points like it's nothing. They played Cleveland, I think it was either last Friday night or the week before on Friday night. And by then, at the beginning of the fourth quarter, they had already given up 100 points to Cleveland. I mean, I think with Chicago losing Derrick Rose, I know they're still going to be a good team. They're going to battle, but I don't see them beating. I think Atlanta could beat them. I think that it's really Atlanta or Cleveland.
Yep.
And I think people need to realize that Atlanta is a good team, and maybe they don't have the go-to guy down the stretch, but I think if they need a big bucket, like you said, T can do it. And he's kind of like Mike Conley. He's under-the-radar type point guard. Someone like Rajon Rondo will always get more press than someone like Teague or Conley, but they're both solid players. I mean, Teague was an all-star this year. Korver's having an insane year. I mean, to shoot 50% from the three-point line is unbelievable, and he might do that this year. And shooting over 90 from the line and over 50% from the field, I mean, it's unbelievable what this team is doing.
Do you think he'll do that, though?
I don't remember.
Will he hold on to those percentages?
I think he will.
Wow. That would be historic. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he'd be the first guy to do it.
Yeah, he would be the first guy to do it. No one's ever done 50-50-90. That's unreal. Unreal. Or is it 40-40?
That's why he made the All-Star team.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's having the season of his life. It's pretty awesome.
Hey, he's a good guy, too.
Yep.
Came from Creighton.
Nice.
He's well-liked around the league. He's kind of like Mike Miller. Very likable guy. Mm-hmm. He has a great skill. He's a great shooter, and he's got great height with that, too. Steve Novak should take some notes. I mean, Steve Novak could be a great shooter if he actually works hard at it. He's got the size, too, but Korver is just unbelievable. And I think Atlanta, I don't think a lot of people watch them. I mean, they're not on national TV that much. I think they're over under for the year with wins was probably around 45. And they're already at that.
Yep,
I mean,
right at it.
No one was expecting it. No one was expecting this.
I agree with that, though. No, but I'm all pumping up the Hawks, but I did not expect them to be this good this far.
I can't even tell you offhand right now who their head coach is. I mean, if I thought about it, I could probably tell you, but that says it all right there.
That's great. That's wild. That's wild. The coach is Mike Budenholzer, and they all call him Coach Bud, you know, so I remember that. That's how I know. But Budenholzer is the coach. Yeah, and not a well-known name by any means, not a veteran of any sort, and it's pretty good, pretty interesting, you know. It's going to be a good underdog story. I give him a chance. Probably no one else does. Umer doesn't. I don't think Ira Winderman does. Nobody's giving the Hawks a chance, and I will be the guy that gives them a chance, and if that means that they get swept, so be it. But I think this team's pretty good.
Have you heard Cowherd talk about the Hawks? He pretty much is as Cowherd always does. He loves the favorite.
Oh,
and he loves the star.
He's a front runner.
I can only imagine what he said when Detroit won it that one year. he must have been like crying like a baby because there's no way he probably picked the Lakers in four in that series.
Oh, I'm positive.
And when Detroit ended up winning in five. He was probably crying like a baby.
Was he on the air back then? I guess he was, because that was his first year.
He might have been.
I think he was.
But I think you're right. And I love how Coward, when he makes something, a prediction, and then it doesn't come true, he kind of talks about it, but then he just, like, runs away from it, like with the Super Bowl. he said the Patriots would win by double digits.
That's right.
He never mentioned it. He never mentioned it the next day. He never mentioned it. He was never like, I was completely wrong. And he all he talked about was how great Tom Brady was. And he never, rarely ever does he mention his predictions, like, just getting destroyed.
That is funny.
And I can only imagine what he gets on Twitter. He's a great listen, but he has a few things that he constantly beats to a dead horse. He loves the favorites. He loves making fun of small cities. He loves college football. He loves talking about soccer. He loves talking about people our age and how older people don't get it. He's got a few things that he constantly throws down our throats. Because he knows it rattles people, it gets
Absolutely.
People upset. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, he knows what he's doing. It's a total attention grab. It's kind of a less abrasive version of Skip Bayless in a way, but he's way more knowledgeable than Skip Bayless on anything, especially,
Skip's an idiot.
Oh, absolutely. But who are the idiots who keep following him, right? I mean, that's so it's kind of like,
yeah,
who's the bigger idiot?
I follow him on Twitter. I don't know why.
You do? See, that's poorly produced. Poorly produced.
He has no followers, too.
I know, I remember that.
He doesn't follow anybody. He doesn't follow anyone.
Yeah.
He was a douche.
Yeah, he's I mean, I guess it's all deliberate. I know it's all part of, like, what he does on purpose, but it's ridiculous. It's outrageous. I'm not feeding the beast there.
Yeah. Think of ESPN and all the crazy guys they have on their network. Keith Olbermann, who's a complete nutcase, and he goes off the handle on Twitter constantly. He just got suspended again for comments about Penn State that came out of nowhere, and no one even understands what the hell he's talking about, really. And then there's Bill Simmons, who gets suspended all the time for whatever reason. There's Stephen A. Smith, who gets suspended, and then he goes on Mad Dog Radio, but then he's still on ESPN Radio sometimes with Michael Kay. Like today, it's weird who the guys they have on their network. It's very, very strange. The guys they have on their network, it's very weird, some of these guys, especially on ESPN Radio. I think they're trying everything they can to get ratings, but it never seems to work out.
No. I think Kurt's doing all right for himself personally, but the other guys is kind of like, they seem desperate, don't they? They seem really desperate for attention. Quick update from the Virginia Tech game. Here comes a shot. Oh, we made it. It's tied up at 77. So 77-77 with under 50 left, and now it is Duke's ball. Are you watching this one with me?
No. So you're going to have to keep me updated.
Oh, okay, I'll keep you up to date. I just took a timeout. You know, one thing I want to do with this studio, I need a bigger mixer to do this the way I want to do it. But I would love to find a way to put the audio from the DirecTV box into the studio so that we can, like, listen to it together while we follow a game, so that we can do live look-in, so to speak, you know, on this podcast. That'd be really cool.
That would be very cool. Very cool, especially with the tournament coming up. That'd be very cool. Andy calling in, flipping out.
So good.
If Andy had the guts to call in, that'd be great.
He might have called in. I haven't checked the studio yet, but he'll call it. I'm sure he'll call in at some point during the tournament because
if I tell him to call in, he'll call in. Yeah, he does whatever in. I say. So
I wouldn't worry about it. Oh, I love that. Good stuff. So yeah, we're still in timeout. 77 all. I just hope that they can finish this game in the next 6 minutes so that we can have a resolution on the podcast, because it would really suck. Like, if we run out of time and then they get a shot, you know, it'd be really lame. Like, you have everybody listening on the show, like, the next day, like, oh, did they win? And then it's like, oh, we'll never know.
You know, it's going in overtime now, Dave.
Yeah, you can't disagree. You know, now that I think it's over now, I just set this thing into triple overtime because of what I said. Oh, it's too good. This is great, though. I'm really good to see Virginia. This is very exciting. Virginia Tech probably putting up their best effort of the year. So this is great. We'll see what they've got.
Do you back to the Stephen A. Smith and all the crazy guys on ESPN? Because I love talking about radio with you, because you're one of the few guys like me who's who listens to all these stupid shows and is really into this stuff. Have you listened to Stephen A. on Mad Dog Radio at all? I have, and I think his show is awful. Like, it's worse than ESPN Radio.
Really?
I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing. If he's trying, he's trying even harder. And you could tell he's that shock jock that just says shit just to get people to call in. But his show is awful now.
Yeah,
I was actually listening to it because my friend has Sirius in his car, so I was listening to it for like a half hour because I had to take his car home. I had to drive him to the airport, and I took his car back, so I was listening to him. And I'm like, this doesn't even sound like Stephen A. Smith. That's how bad he was. And I just wanted to get your opinion. I was just wondering if you've been listening to him at all, but he's been awful.
I haven't listened to anything on Matt. Oh, no. Did they? Oh, okay, never mind. Time out? What happened here? Did the Duke... Okay, so let me just fill you in what happened. I haven't been listening to any Sirius Radio in quite some time, so unfortunately I've not been privy to the news. I didn't even... You know, I remember he got to Sirius, so that was kind of weird, but I've not listened to his show. I haven't listened to Mad Dog in, like, months, so I'm only going by what he tweets now, which he repeats most of the stuff.
I don't follow him on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he pretty much repeats a lot of stuff.
Does he do baseball?
Oh, yeah, he's on High Heat now, so he does baseball. He's big on baseball. Has his
no, but I'm saying with his Twitter, are most of his tweets baseball-related, or is he still talking about his sports?
No, he talks about other sports, I think, when the time is appropriate. Pretty much nothing different from what you're used to seeing from him. Like, he just will have a big comment. He was big on – he was very CNF about the Oscars. Predictable, right, you know? One thing I thought was really stupid, like he said the Birdman was garbage. I mean, look, I didn't ever see the movie, but to call a movie garbage,
Really?
Yeah, I think that was poorly produced by him, because I think he just simply didn't understand it. I think if you...
What did he like?
I would have to go back to his Twitter and look that up.
You don't remember what movie he liked?
I don't remember what he actually liked, but... He was making all sorts of bombastic statements about what he thought was terrible. He thought Neil Patrick Harris was a miserable host, which is fine because I think most people agree with that. But what do we have here? We have a thought. What do we have? A foul. So here's what happened in the Duke Virginia Tech game. Just to interrupt, Jameel Okafor went to the line, shot two free throws. He missed them both, but it looked like Duke got the rebound and called a timeout. Next possession, it appears that. No, I guess – no, never mind. I don't think Duke got the rebound because now Virginia Tech has it. There's less than – there's 10 seconds left. Here we go. What the – oh, they called a timeout. Okay, they called a timeout. Called another timeout. So
were they advanced to half court or where?
Yeah, they're up to half court now. So they're at half court. Virginia Tech ball.
How much time?
10.2 seconds left on the clock. So this is going to be very exciting.
So plenty of time to run a play.
Oh, yeah, plenty of time. They can do
plenty of enough time.
Oh, yeah. They don't have to do a quick shot or anything. They can run a full play. So this will be – and it's tied, too. So if they miss, the worst-case scenario is overtime. They don't have to do that much. They really don't. They don't have to chuck some three or anything like that. So let's see what they have. Let's see what they come up with.
I can't believe Okafor missed both free throws.
Both free throws.
What the hell?
Incredible.
What type of number one player is that?
In a big spot. You just needed one to take the lead. The time was not running.
He's not going to get killed for that now. You watch. 90 seconds.
No, you're probably right because he's a big man. I think big man get more of a pass.
He's a big man, right? Yeah. If that was Derrick Rose or some guard who missed both, they'd be killing him. But because he's a big man and. Big men aren't supposed to be able to make free throws. They'd be like, some people would even be like, why was he on the floor? Yeah, you know, I mean,
right.
you got plenty of idiots who just say whatever.
Right.
Who don't know the game, and it's people like Stephen A. Smith with
60
football, who
seconds.
Don't know anything about the game. They just write off opinions because they can.
That's rough. Okay, so here we go. Last possession of regulation, we believe. Here we go. It's at the 3-point line. Into the paint. Ooh, he just gets it up. And what happened here? So they went for about a 10-footer he missed off the side of the key. They did get the rebound briefly, Virginia Tech did. They tried to heave it at the basket. They missed that, too. And that was that. We are going to overtime in Blacksburg.
As expected.
Yep, as expected, because it was a tie game, so there's not a lot of pressure there to get a shot, make a shot. So they played that well. They got a good look.
Do you know the foul situation?
10 seconds.
By any chance of Duke? Are there any guys with 4 fouls or a fouled out?
Let's dig that up. We'll get the. Let me get the box score now. Right. That's a good question. I'm watching this from several feet away, so I am checking. Here we go. I got the score now, right here. Let's get the foul situation for you. We're going overtime for those of you listening on Block Talk Radio, so we'll see you on the other side. But everybody else here on YouTube and on the podcast, stay with us. We're still here. So let's continue. Okay. So let's look at the foul situation. Everybody in Duke has 2 fouls or less except for Winslow, who has 3. So Winslow's really the only one in no foul trouble yet. So
that's great.
Yeah, they're in good shape for overtime because nobody would...
Tell me the stat line. Who's been having a great game?
Well, we mentioned Okafor. He's the leading scorer for Duke. He's got 26, 12 of 17 from the field. And looks like we have 8 rebounds, 7 offensive rebounds tonight. Seven offensive end.
He's been a beast.
That's pretty good.
He's been a beast. 12 of 17 is very good.
That's obviously very impressive.
Winslow done?
Winslow is having a decent game. 13, 6 of 11 from the field. And he's got 6 rebounds on the night. Two steals for him.
What about the guard? What's his name?
Talking about Cook or Jones?
Cook, yeah.
Quinn Cook, 19. Wow, that's a nice night for him. 7 of 12, 5 for 10 from 3. It's pretty good.
So the big three for Duke is having a good night.
Good night.
Virginia Tech is hanging strong.
That's impressive. It really is. Your leading scorer on Virginia Tech is Jalen Hudson off the bench, 21 points, 9 of 18 shooting, 3 of 4 from three-point range. All right.
Good for him.
Good for him indeed.
Off the bench, too.
Off the bench. We're going to overtime here in Blacksburg, and we're also going overtime here, so that's kind of nice. So for those of you on the Podbean, you're getting a little bonus vid, but it's only bonus to an extent. We didn't start the first half hour of the show, so technically speaking, we're making up time. So that's why we're doing this, because I couldn't start the show until 6:30 tonight. Maybe it was a little before 6:30. It was like 6:25. No, actually, it was one guy that did not realize that I had to leave at 5. I was dealing with some guy over the phone and wouldn't let me go. I gotta go, and he wouldn't let me go. I had to continue helping
him. That's when you hang up the phone.
I should have done that. I should have just pushed the button and just let him figure it out, you know? So I was like, all right, fair enough. I was very upset.
I can only imagine how crazy you were.
I was. I was livid. I was absolutely livid. I would have...
How long's your commute home?
It really depends on the day, but the way I have it set up now, UCLA to Santa Monica, we're talking about 40 minutes, usually. About 30 to 40 minutes.
Jesus. I know. How many miles is it?
It's like 5 miles. It's like 5 miles.
That's unbelievable.
Well, I'm on a bus. I'm on a bus. That's on the bus, though. I'm not driving that.
Have you ever tried riding a bike?
I thought about it. I don't have a bike. So I guess I would have to do that first to be successful at that venture. But
would you be able to ride a bike, or the road's too dangerous?
Well, it's a lot of up and down. Like, you got a lot of elevation change. I think the up and down is where you start to tire out. You could do it, but it just would be an adventure, I think, to ride a bike.
How long do you think you wouldn't be like Evan Roberts, where you would afterwards you would be sweating so much that you would have to go to the bathroom and like change your shirt and stuff? But you wouldn't be able to take a shower because they don't have showers like Evan Roberts. So he gives stories all the time. sadly, I know this because I don't know why I'm listening, but he's actually pretty good by himself, and he always talks about his bike ride into the studios and how he uses the bathroom and he can't take a shower because they don't have showers, so he's like sweating profusely and just disgusting. So I can only imagine you doing that, but I'm assuming that they have showers where you work because you work at a college.
I would have to go to the gym to shower. The gym, you know, like the gym.
It would be a whole process.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be worth it. I mean, you wouldn't be saving time because with the shower and with the bike ride, it would probably take you like an hour and a half too.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's good to get a little bonus exercise. That's cool. But other than that, yeah, it's kind of not for me. So, yeah, now I know. That's L.A., you know, travel 30 minutes to go 5 miles. That's what we're used to out here. So it's just the way it is. But it is on a bus, though, so there's a lot of stops. You know, you stop here, you stop there, whatever. And it's all good. Let's give you
an overview. Do you know the bus driver by his or her name? Like, do you say hello?
I can.
Like, hello, Alice, every morning?
I could do that. I'm usually, when I ride the bus a lot of times, it's so early in the morning, I'm not really that verbose, you know what I mean? But I recognize them.
Do you fall asleep on the bus?
I had once, but usually no. I did one time, though.
Where you're just not, you're like me and you can't fall asleep on a bus.
I can't fall asleep on the bus because
worried?
You're worried that someone will jack you. Like, they'll take your wallet or something if you fall asleep, so.
Really? Is it that dangerous?
Well, it was that time when I was falling asleep because I was coming home. I experimented with public transportation from Dodger Stadium to my apartment. And I took a bus all the way from the stadium. Actually, I took it from Sunset Boulevard, you know, walked all the way down the hill to Echo Park and took a bus all the way home. And I wanted to sleep, but I was always thinking, what if some guy comes in and takes away my phone or takes away my, you know, I'm just thinking that in the back of my head. So I kind of did it. I put my head against the window and I slept a little bit, but I couldn't go all in because I was like, what if they, you know what I mean? Like, I'm always thinking in the back of my mind that could happen. Someone could jump on and take something out of my pocket.
Yeah. Is it sketchy? Like, there's a lot of sketchy people.
I mean,
it's like the New York subway system, some lines.
Whatever the New York subway system, it's a little bit like that. Not as bad, I don't think, but it's just. Just a lot of people and people it can get sketchy sometimes, but it's nothing like that would scare me. I think some people get scared of it and they don't like it, and it's just like, it's just life, man. Just do it, you know? It's not the end of the world. You're just a number out there. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, your various shenanigans, stuff we're used to, right?
Do you sit in the same seat every morning on the bus? Like, do you sit in the front, like the you have a particular seat that you like to sit in? And
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When someone takes your seat in the morning, you get really mad. Like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah, it gets I do middle. I like to do the middle. Just anywhere in the middle of the bus, I like to partake. So I'm a middle guy.
Do you have a bus pass, or do you pay every morning?
No, a bus pass. Bus pass for me. We have a nice system where we get a special bus pass through UCLA, and it covers 3 months, and it had been like 3 months for, it's like three, what was it, 3 months for 30? Pretty good. It's like $10 a month. It's like 35 now, but
wow, that's great.
It's pretty good, right? So I don't want to give
that
up.
That's unbelievable.
So
that's unbelievable.
There we go. Yeah, it's a great setup, and so it's really served me well, and I probably saved quite a lot of money not having to drive, use gas, or pay for the ridiculous parking fees for the month. So it's worked out very well for me. So
if you wanted to drive, how much would it cost to park? Would it be like through the roof?
No, because I'm using the bus system. We are part of a commuter program, so we do get a bit of a break with the parking. We have they said something like 50 or maybe even 60 or 70, something like over 50, over 50 parking passes that you can use throughout the fiscal year. And because you are also a bus commuter, you only have to pay $6 to park for the day at any moment that you want to use it. So I've worked it out so that it's once a week I can drive over there and pay my $6, and it's all good. So even if you do that, like 6 times 4 would be 24. So even if I used it every time, it's still tremendous savings, though, because it's like you get your one day a week where you can drive, and then you can still take the bus for the rest of the time. You save oodles of dollars on parking that way.
How long does it take you if you drive?
It's not as bad when you drive. You got to time it right. Getting there, you can get there in like 20, maybe 25 minutes. Getting back, it's about the same. It's like 25 to 30, like just getting back. You know, your usual stops and whatever. So if you're really fast, maybe you can get back in 20. But I live further away now. I used to live closer, so it was like 20 minutes and maybe 10, 15 back in the old, like 10 to 15 in the morning from the old place. But this, I live farther away now, so it's okay. I totally understand it. So I estimate between 20 and 30 minutes each way. So the difference is coming back.
Is there only one way you can go, or is there like do you know all the back roads and stuff? I imagine it being like one major highway, and there's just tons of lights, and you're constantly waiting. But is there like a back way you can go that will save some time? Like, is there hidden tricks to it, or is there just really one way to go?
Just a great question. We all come up with our routes, and we stick to them because we feel like it's the most traffic proof, it's the most reliable. But there are different ways to do it. There are different ways you can approach. If something's cut off, there are other routes you can take. But to be honest, from UCLA, because you got to cross the freeway, it's a little bit more limited in what you can do to get to a specific part of town. And for me, getting to where I live in Santa Monica, you really do rely on a couple of major thoroughfares for your commute to be a success, and that would be Wilshire and Santa Monica Boulevard. Now, Santa Monica Boulevard is pretty extreme at this point because you're going way south, and I actually live in an apartment that happens to be north of Wilshire. So taking Santa Monica or Olympic would be pretty drastic. You'd have to be doing something else on the way over there to make that worthwhile. But you can do it. You can do Olympic if let's say Wilshire's completely blocked off. You can go south and go take Olympic if you need to. Or you can do the same with Sunset, but that's not advised because Sunset's usually pretty jammed like the entirety of it during the evening. So, but you do have alternatives, but you just try not to use them as much as possible because everybody has their route. And when they come up with their route, they stick to it because if you get lost, if you get deviated and you have to improvise, that can be a disaster though, because you run into pockets of traffic and you can't get out of it, and you get stonewalled sometimes trying to improvise. So while there are alternate routes, you stay with what you know, because it can be very, very, it can end you if you try to deviate too much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, is L.A. traffic, you have to know exactly, when the roads are good, when the roads are bad.
Yes.
I feel like that you have to plan your day around when you can leave.
Yep.
And, if you're like, well, I can't leave now because it's going to be awful, so I have to wait another hour, or you're just like, I might as well not go out now because the traffic is just going to be a nightmare. Like, what day and time is probably the best, where the least traffic is? I'm going to guess it's probably like Sunday afternoon is probably not terrible, or maybe Sunday morning.
Obviously,
like 3 a.m.
Yeah, but most of Sunday.
Yeah, so Sunday's the best day to drive.
I think so. I think Sunday's great. It's really great. Sunday morning is fantastic. You can really go just about anywhere you want on Sunday afternoon. You may end up having problems on the freeways coming back depending on how far you go, but generally, no. I think if you're anywhere around the area, you're usually pretty good on a Sunday, so that's a good day to travel.
What about like the beach? Like, is it a great time to go to the beach now, or is it still a little bit too cold? Do people go to the beach like now, or not really?
I think people are going to the beach. It is getting cold again, but it, you know, there was a weekend about 2 weekends ago. It was so warm. It was like, it literally, it felt like it was summer. You would never even know it was February. It felt like July. I'm not even joking. It was so warm. And that was amazing. People were going to the beach, getting jammed, all that good stuff. So that was pretty cool stuff. I like that. It was fun walking around with no jacket. And I'm just like, just pissing on all you guys right now. I'm sorry, but it was great. It was great. So, good times.
Do people drive their cars onto the beach, Dave? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Drive their car on the beach? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's not like Daytona, Florida, where you could actually drive your car into the beach. You could do bonfires, right? We can't do them here.
I have to go check on that. I really don't know. There's so many weird ordinances in all these beaches, so I honestly have no idea. I think you can, but I really don't have an answer right now. Maybe we'll come up with one as we go along. Give you an update on the game. Oh, it's not looking good for Virginia Tech. Now,
damn it.
Yep. Duke is up 87-82. There are 23.9 seconds remaining in overtime, so not looking hot.
What a joke.
And Duke has got one more free throw from Emil Jefferson coming. He missed the first one.
Virginia Tech had their chance.
They did. Then
Virginia Tech had their chance, and they blew it.
Right there. They had a look.
They absolutely blew it.
They had their shot, and that was their shot. Jefferson makes the second free throw. It is 88-82. And
game over.
No, that's over. So we'll go ahead and close up shop. Yeah, but it's been, even today, like even with it being chillier now, it's still pretty good weather. We had a rainy weekend last weekend. You may have seen some of that during the Oscars coverage, but it was raining. It wasn't like kind of raining. It was all the way raining, like the whole day. So
I guess you guys don't have a drought problem anymore?
No, we still got a ways to go, I think, though. But we're getting closer. It's definitely we're on
the
right
track.
Do
you have water restrictions?
Who, what? Oh, the water restrictions, yeah.
Do you have water restrictions?
We technically do, yeah. I don't know if people are really enforcing them, but yeah, we do have water restrictions currently in certain areas. So that's the word.
What are the restrictions? Is it like showering or you just can't water your plants?
I think they're just saying like you can't water on a regular basis. You have to cut down on that. Like don't water it every day, every hour of the day, whatever. Stuff like that.
Right.
But they're really more like suggestions.
Or you can get fined.
Yeah, well, that's what they say. But again, like I said, they're not really enforcing it. So, the drought talk has died down a lot in the last month because we've had some pretty good rain. But we need more. We're not done. I think we have a few more of those, and I think we'll be back on track. So, well, Tom, it's been a good time. Virginia Tech down 5 with 15.4 to go. And Duke shooting more free throws. That's that.
They blew it, Dave. They blew it.
Unbelievable.
Terrible
job. Golden opportunity for the Hokies. Didn't get it done. It's too bad. Too bad.
As any in Seattle would say, terrible job.
Terrible
by
job.
By many people and teams.
Well, and hey, Nova won, and nowadays that's become to be expected. So, maybe times do change in 5 years. Am I right? Never know.
Yep.
I like it. Yep. Jay Wright's still coaching. That's another triumph for him. So beautiful.
That is.
You know, this month was the 4th anniversary of Andy's rant. That was, it really puts it in perspective.
You should play it.
I've got it. Let's see, grab it right here. I've got it right here. Let me dig it up. So take us a minute. Have you heard it since?
When I told Andy about the anniversary, he like gave me like a weird response, like it was the 4th anniversary not 2 weeks ago, but it was actually like a week and a half ago or something weird. And I'm like, "What are you talking about? I think Dave would know." And he's being very humble about his great rant, and I don't think he likes talking about it.
No, I hear you. I hear him there. I mean, we know Andy. It's natural for him to feel that way. So the clips. Okay, here we go. Let's see. I've got it here. It's amazing. 2011, this rant. That's
Jesus.
Unbelievable.
Time flies.
It really does. I mean, that's crazy. Let's see. I gotta go search for it. I have it on the I have it on my Dropbox account. You know what? I still have it. Let's just go to Dropbox now. It should still be here. Even if it's not synced, I still have it. Let's see. I do have it. Okay. Terrible job rant. Unbelievable. Yeah, and I confirmed the date by looking up the dates of the games that he was talking about. So we triangulated that to February 9th, 2011. And we played it on the podcast on Valentine's Day that same week, February 14th. So here without comment, Andy in Seattle's terrible job rant.
Terrible job out of many, many people and teams. Terrible job out of Villanova, but that's become to be expected. They can't win games on the road against inferior opponents, okay? Jay Wright is soft. Terrible job out of me from realizing that Rutgers could cover the 6-point spread when I knew Villanova gets soft. Terrible job out of Louisville, getting 4 at Notre Dame, up 4 with 2 minutes left. Tie game with 10 seconds left in regulation. Miss the 3 at the buzzer. Lose by 10 in overtime. Terrible job. Terrible job out of Colorado Buffaloes. Giving 3 to Texas A&M. Twice, blowing 7-point leads in the second half. Up 3. 10 seconds left. Give up a 3 to force overtime. Lose by 3. Miss the 3 at the buzzer at the end of overtime. Terrible job out of Texas A&M. Terrible job out of the Utah Jazz. Give me 1 to the Chicago Bulls. They shoot 11 for 21 from the free throw line. 2 times with under a minute left in the fourth quarter. They're down 1. Deron Williams, turnover. Al Jefferson, turnover. Terrible job out of the Utah Jazz. Terrible job out of the Montreal Canadiens. Lose to the Bruins. They score 6 goals. They score 6 goals and lose
That's the best part.
You score 6 goals in the NHL, you're supposed to win the game. A terrible job out of the Montreal Canadiens. A terrible job out of T-Mobile and Verizon. They canceled my phone, the folks at Verizon, because T-Mobile already started the transfer of my number. But I never got the phone from T-Mobile. I tried to send my buddy Tom a text, and it's saying it's unavailable. I try to make an outgoing call, and it says my phone is not equipped to make an incoming call. I call *611, Verizon customer service, and they tell me T-Mobile has control of my number. So I have to go to the mall, and then they give me this temporary phone until my new phone arrives. Just a terrible, terrible job out of so many people and so many teams tonight on a
Dumpless
Wednesday.
There it is, 4 years ago.
That is classic. Absolutely classic. It doesn't get any better than that, Dave. That might be top 5 rant of all time.
Oh, it has to
be. I think if you send that to Mike Francesa, Colin Cowherd, they would probably play it. That's how good it is. It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I think Mike Francesa would be like, you have a gambling problem? And he would say in his mic voice, and be like, you have a gambling problem, okay? You need some help. Okay. Don't bother me.
Oh, man. Yeah. Why would... You have to wonder what motivates people, you know, something like that. Back after this, so that was just tremendous. You got that as a voicemail, and
that was the best part.
Unbelievable. We didn't do it on the show.
I was totally not expecting that. I remember calling him for whatever reason and not getting through. Like you said, T-Mobile had problems with his phone, or he got a new phone and it wasn't going through. So I thought he didn't pay his phone bill or something. So I was giving him a hard time about that. I think I sent him a voicemail, be like, pay your phone bill, fuckhead, or something like that. And I was giving him a hard time, and then out of nowhere, I think I didn't even get the rant until the next morning. Yeah, that's right. I went to bed, and I woke up the next morning, and I heard the rant. The rant's like 6 minutes long. It's a long voicemail. So it was unbelievable. That made my week. That, and he left another voicemail like 2 weeks later, and I'm friends with Unclever, so I could say this now, but he made a hilarious voicemail pretending he was Unclever when George Steinbrenner died, and he was pretending he was Unclever, and he was crying, and Andy was going on and on, being like, George is gone, the Yankees are done, Steinbrenner's gone, I hope you're okay, Tommy, and it was hilarious, and I think if Unclever heard it, he'd be dying laughing, too. And I'm not sure if I sent you that one, too. I probably
did. No, you
did.
You sent me that one. I remember that. Yeah. I didn't save that one, though, for some reason, but I did get that one, yeah.
He doesn't send me voicemails like this anymore, but he used to all the time, and they're the funniest voicemails. And the best part is they're completely authentic. He doesn't even try. It's just... He doesn't even put any effort into it. It's just him. That's how he is. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
He's crazy with gambling and losing bets. And he sends me texts going nuts about losing $400 in blackjack, and I give him a hard time about it. He always is feisty about it, too. He doesn't even get that I'm just joking around. And it's just typical Andy, and it's unbelievable.
The one and only, honestly, and we love him, man. Andy in Seattle is truly one of the best, and so I'm just glad that he's managed to, you know, that he's still hanging with all of us after all this time, and we all clown around with each other. And I know he tugs at me a lot, he tugs at you a lot, we tug at him a lot, so it's a good time. So
I think you're number one. I think you're the number one target for whatever reason.
I know. I do it to myself.
You're always number one. Yeah, you, him, and Otis, and me too. I attack you too sometimes, but it's all in fun. But
yeah, it's all good. And you told me to defend myself too, which I do. I'm better at that now.
Yeah.
The
three of us give you a hard time, especially with betting. What's your what's your betting record now with? Otis and Andy, tell me, I haven't been on the board much lately, if you know, but I know you started a thread with, like, sports bets or something, and Andy told me you're, like, 4-11 or something.
Yeah, it's abysmal. It is awful. I can tell you, I didn't partake in all those, because at the beginning of it, I'm like, yeah, this is going to fall off. These matchups, I don't like them. So I didn't lose all of that, but a lot of it I did, and And today I didn't even use it. I didn't even do the quote cover train. Got ripped. I'm still getting ripped for it. And I think they bring up a good point, though. It's sort of like you can't do systems and start bragging about it. It's just not good karma. I realize that now. I never really, you know, I'm always missing the superstition angle of like making bets. Like I'm always missing that part.
You can't stop now, though, Dave. You have to 15 games or whatever, however many games it is, it's too small of a sample. You have to let it run its course. You have to go at least like 30 to 50 games. You can't stop now. You have to.
There's no going back now. No, you're right. I didn't do it tonight. I didn't have, but I have enough units.
Sample.
No, you're right. It's taken me through some great times too. So, I think. We will continue. We will do it. You know, you're right. You're right. I just took the night off tonight. I did plug away at the Rockets, so I guess I didn't completely go off of it tonight. So there you go. I guess the Rockets came through for the Cal. All right. So we can.
And March Madness starts, Dave. So you're gonna have more opportunity to get
your
money.
Oh, I like it. Well, here's the thing. One of the reasons why I didn't take Milwaukee tonight was because, number one, they were 0-3 in their last three against the spread. But number two, they traded Brandon Knight, so I'm really have no read on them. And I was wary of the Clippers for a while, same reason. And the Warriors yesterday, there was we didn't know the status of Steph Curry's playing start that night until like 3 hours before the game. So it was like it was too much up in the air, so I decided I was not going to fire on that either. So it was just a lot of question marks with these matchups of over the last 2 days. So I think things have settled down. We'll try it again tomorrow, see what we end up with. And I'm very thankful that the Rockets came through tonight so I can continue this experiment. We'll see where it goes. That NHL thing I did last week was just so dumb. So dumb. I thought that by picking on...
I know.
Oh, so bad.
I could never bet in the NHL. I don't know how you and Andy and all these guys do it. I can never bet in the NHL. Maybe it's because I don't follow it enough, but betting on the NHL just scares me.
It's so random, man. There was one time where the Buffalo Sabres were going out to Montreal. They were going to Montreal to play up. And it seemed like the easiest call of the week. And it's like, I'm like even sending PMs like, oh, Montreal, guess who they're playing? Ha, ha, ha. Easy. That should be an easy one. And then guess what happens? Montreal gets shut down. Yeah, absolutely. Of course, right? Buffalo beats them. Shuts them down. So just... There you go, a little bit inside vid there. Just, ugh. But like,
you know what's the best though is when that one or two times where you know that this game like shoots out on you and you're like, oh, this is definitely a game where everybody's gonna think they're gonna win, and then you bet it the other way, and that one or two times you get it right. That makes it all worth it when game you just mentioned, but you bet the other way and you go with the not so obvious pick and you just take the underdog and you win. That one or two times makes it all worth it, right?
Oh my gosh, there's nothing that is the best feeling in hypothetical wagering. There's nothing like it. You live for those moments. It's happened to me a couple times too, and I love it. It is truly remarkable. I completely concur with you on that one. Let me think. It's happened this year too, but those are great moments. Great moments. It happened. What was the game where I really thought that way about something and it did come through, and I can't even remember what it was anymore, but. I remember very vividly. Maybe it was the Baltimore game. I'm not sure. Maybe it was a Baltimore game. It might have been... I didn't do anything on championship weekend, so I guess it wasn't that. But those moments do come, and I cherish them. So, you know, I'm... I don't have a lot of inventory to work with right now, but I'm going to try to build this thing back up. We will see. I will just carry on with the experiment. I just have fun with it. I have fun with the numbers. I just think, you know, these are how these teams are rated. I want to see how it carries out. But bragging about it was not a good move. I should have just been a little bit more in the deal with it, you know. Do you like casino?
Whenever you brag, it never works out.
And I, you know, you'd think I'd have learned that lesson after so many years, and I just haven't. So away we go. So it's all good. It's all fine. It's part of the game. It's just for fun anyway, so it's no big deal. It's scenarios that you can't afford to lose. So it's no big deal in the end. All right, Tom. Well, that is all the time we've got tonight. I really want to thank you for the extended time with us tonight. This was fun. I had a good time. Hope you did too.
I did, Dave. It was a lot of fun, bud. You are the best.
Thanks so much, man.
I will talk to you probably in a couple weeks.
You are too, man. Take it easy, buddy. Take care.
You too.
All right, man. That's Tom in New Jersey. And Tom is the best as well. Good stuff all around. Great show. Hope you all enjoyed it. Jared Piscataway, Tom in New Jersey. I'm Dave Medina. This has been great. Next week, remember everybody, Chuckman's still on vacation, and we have the MLB 2-hour preview. Stay with us for that next week, Wednesday at 9. Till then, have a good weekend, and we'll see you next time.